TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. There's so many things that we're sharing and have shared that came out of going deep into God and just crying out to God and going through the journeys you need to go through to be able to do what God has called you to do and to hear what he's saying. Because he says in Proverbs 1, he wants to share his secrets with us. And it's, you know, it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but it's the glory of a king to search it out.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to go after him, to search after him. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul, which is what you think, what you want, what you feel, God wants that part of you, you know, to go after him. You know, we love him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he just reveals himself. And that's what it's amazing. And it's just a beautiful thing. And then, you know, and this is what I wanted to share with you is it requires faith at that point to just to step out with what he's told you. And it could be real vague word. It could be just a unction. It could be just slight, still whisper of God. You know why? Because it's about love.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to just, you know, unless obviously it's a rebuke. But if it's about, because people go, well, you know, God can't do this without me. Okay, well, we'll see you after the long journey that you come back and say, no, he can do it without you because there's others that actually understand that he wants to do it with us
mm-hmm.
and through us. And with that, he wants you just to go after him in faith at that point. Once he shares that and speaks that with you with bold faith, I think about, this is the way to describe faith that I Paul Krauts, the founder of TBN, described it this way. You know, faith is walking to the edge of the light you have and taking one more step.
Mm.
And so many people stay within the light they have, waiting for more light to appear. And that's not faith. Mm-hmm. You can see it in. But it's taking that one more step. John G. Lake said, you know, when God's called you to do something, step out in bold faith and he'll meet you there every time. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I haven't experienced God's presence lately. Well, he's in that one more step. I mean, he's everywhere, but you're going to experience him in that one more step. Without stepping in that one more step, it's impossible to please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You think about the centurion with great faith and authority. This guy, you know, he understood when he saw Jesus, you know, he said, one of my guys are sick. Mm-hmm. And can you come over? Can you heal him? And Jesus says, I'll be right over.
Right.
And he goes, oh my, no, I'm not even worthy to have you come. No, oh, listen, I understand how things work. I'm a man under authority. I got people over me and I have people under me. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell one to come and he comes. Just speak the word. And I know he's going to be healed.
Wow.
And Jesus said, wow, you understand that one more step.
Hmm.
You understand faith. He was so moved and he wasn't even a Jew. And he said, just speak these words. I know he's going to be healed. And he says, this moment, your servant is healed. But he said, listen, you've got great faith.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's going to take not just a word from God, not just the scriptures in this moment in time. It's going to take the church to rise up and step out one more step beyond what you presently know, what you're trusting God in, what he's told you, for it to come to pass. We're going to have to trust God with our very own lives, with our very own destiny. Well, Paul did, and look, you know, he had a journey. He obviously, we're reading half of the New Testament today that he wrote. Some of them he wrote in, you know, king's palaces, you know, and some of them he wrote in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the church is so twisted in our understanding that we don't even understand that just because you say yes to God does not mean that your life is going to be some of this prosperity doctrine that's out there that all of a sudden a Rolls Royce is going to pick you up and take you to your new penthouse. Mm-hmm. You know, and people are going to bow down to you and you're going to have a watch so heavy you got to hire somebody to help you carry your arm. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, that's not the gospel of Jesus.
Right.
Obviously, God doesn't mind you having things, but he minds things having you. And we're seeing right now in America, are things kind of just be kind of fading away. Mm-hmm. But we have things because God's blessed America. And I just want to encourage you that, listen, if you're tired of being where you are and you're wondering how come God doesn't do something, he's waiting for you to take that step of faith and he'll meet you there. You just have to believe him. And then you have to hold on to your belief. You can't sit out here and start walking on water because you believe God when he said, step out of the boat. Everybody else stayed in their light, right? Their light was the boat when Jesus said, come out here. And everybody else stayed, well, boats float. We don't float. If I step on the water, I'll go down. They all went in their head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I can feel people go in their head. It literally begins to suck the whole room in. And it's like, that's, you're killing faith when you start going into your head. You cannot move in faith in your head. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. It doesn't happen in your head. It's about your heart and your spirit. He tells us that the battle is in our mind. It's not our mind. And we have to take every thought and force it to be in compliance with the word of God. So when God says something, don't negotiate with your head about it. Just believe in your heart. And when you involve your intellect, make sure it submits to that word that God said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let it trump the word of God in your life, because it's going to lead you to captivity. It's going to lead you to a place of bondage. And you may suck the whole room in, the whole congregation in your head. I mean, you could be on a board, you could be, you know, a leader or whatever, and all of a sudden everybody's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, get out of your head. All right, get out of your head. You know, I'm not out of my mind, right?
That's right.
I'm out of your mind, right? And it's like, come on, this thing is not about our brains. Our brains are finite. Understand this, that the world exists outside your brain. You know, I mean, we have something going for us. We're just not that smart. But these guys that think they're so smart is amazing. And some people think they're so smart, now they're actually trumping the word of God and saying things intellectually about God's word and the destiny and the return of the Messiah being something that it's not. And if you haven't heard that, you've got to hear the Sid Roth interview with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam with their books. And we're going to be at two more of those interviews. And I, you know, if you're listening to those interviews, I'm with you. I'm thinking, I mean, you just got to, you know, I guess Pat can understand that. It's like, It is what it is, and you know, I say research it yourself. Everything we say, you know, research it yourself in the Word of God. Find out what God says about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Step up and make a difference this Christmas. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Try this idea from Gail, who was in high school when she took the lead in helping a family in need.
It was becoming Christmas, and I had heard that they weren't, I just knew their Christmas wasn't going to be that great, and that I'd see them come in with these ragamuffin coats. And for some reason, God just led me to put out the word, get them coats, get them Christmas presents. And yet I knew nothing of that kind of life, but I just knew in my heart that I had something I could offer to somebody else.
By coordinating the effort, Gail helped that family enjoy Christmas together in a way that really made a difference. In the same way, why not look for opportunities to give of your money, time, and talents to others this holiday season? You'll find more great ideas at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to buy it, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're mm-hmm. if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, yes,
he cares
he
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The Lord Jesus. Asleep on the head.
We talk about quite often the original intent. The original intent. And we're doing that because if you leave the original intent, it's no longer what it was anymore. And we're looking at America. America is, its original intent is the Constitution of the United States. It's the Declaration of Independence, why we're doing what we're doing. And, how many of us don't know the Constitution? I mean, we were talking about the preamble of the Constitution. What was, you got to check it out. We shared with you yesterday. We don't want to share it again, but you can actually hear it again on the torch. But it's amazing the seven things that it, the reason why the Constitution was written and ordained and established was for these seven things. But then you look at the first article in Section 1. I mean, think about it. The very first thing that was written about after the preamble was Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution. And it has to do with the very branch of government that people just seem to be ignoring. But we should not. It has to do, it says right here, Section 1 says, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Why is that put first? Well, think about it. That's who represents us. That's representative government. And the very first thing after the preamble, it talks about Senate and Congress. And so many people just tell, you know, they say, you just need to push on past Congress. You just need to do it. I'll accomplish this totally outside of you. You can either work with me or I'll get the people to do it in the nation. It's like, that's their representatives. And so in the original intent, we think about the first thing that they wrote about was the Senate and the House of Representatives. They wrote about Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that, and that's why it's important that you find and support the values, and you find out what candidates stand for, what their values are, and you find people who agree with Christian values. One example is that they believe that life begins at conception and not to kill that child in the mother's womb. Why? First of all, because that's murder. Secondly, because the way that this nation is set up, the Congress will pass a law saying that it's murder and they can no longer do it anymore.
Right.
That's what's so important about that. So voting people into office that have your values, Christian values, and the thing is we got to rediscover our original intent of what Christian values are, but one is thou shalt not murder.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting involved and asking questions like, you know, what is your stand on this? What is your stand on that? You can find out if they actually agree with the same values that God has spoken in his word. And we can change these horrific things taking place by having a representative government who represents our values. And the very first thing they talk about after the preamble to the Constitution, the first article, the first section is Congress. Let me read it to you again. All legislative powers, think about it, all. And legislative means lawmaking powers, by the way. And we've totally surpassed Congress in so many different ways with executive orders and all these czars, these different things, and these policies and procedures. Like, what happened to Congress? You know, what happened to Congress? And so Congress has happened now to unfund things to be able to make a point and to stop things because there's things being passed that they didn't want to be passed.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, and this is every bit of it, right? All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Think about representatives. That's the lawmaking part of our government. You have three branches of government. You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and you have the judiciary branch. The legislative branch, which is Congress, which just talks about in Article 1, Section 1, is the only one that's supposed to make laws. And not only that, to fund those laws. And the executive branch is to enforce those laws, which would be the president and his cabinet. And the judiciary branch is supposed to interpret the laws as if they're constitutional or not. Not make laws, but are they constitutional or not? Because everything's based on the Constitution of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. The original intent. And so we got to begin to look at Congress a bit different and start thinking, wait a minute. You're saying nothing. You're doing nothing, or you're doing something. I don't know. Begin to hold your congressman and your senator, your representative, accountable for what they're doing or what they're not doing, and realize that's how things are made. So when you're talking about things such as abortion, when you're thinking about, you know, safety of our borders, that our Congress can make a law that changes everything.
All right.
That changes everything. If they make no laws and they just let the executive branch make policies and procedures and proclamations that kind of take the place of law, that become law, by the way, if they're not stopped by Congress, by the way, that's part of the things that we've talked about. After a certain time frame, I believe it's 90 days, that an executive order becomes a law. I don't know what the days are, but if it just sits there, so quite often, keep from stirring things up and messing up their political atmosphere. Some people will just let the executive branch make an executive order and nobody say anything, and all of a sudden it becomes a law and nobody takes responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
Happens quite a bit. And so under original intent, so all we want to do is, I think about Dr. Martin Luther King when he was talking about the same thing. He says, listen, I'm not asking you for anything except what's written on paper. What's written on paper. Listen to Dr. Martin Luther King say these very same words. And what he's talking about, the paper, he's talking about human rights and he's talking about the Constitution. Listen up.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
You listen to Dr. King as he's talking about, listen, I'm just holding you, America, accountable to what's written on the paper. It's not wrong to hold America and Washington, D.C. accountable to what's written on paper because that's our Constitution. That's what we're made of. That's what we're a nation of laws. And what Dr. King's talking about is the First Amendment, the first Bill of Rights, and the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says, you know, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redressing of grievances. In other words, it's not wrong for you to go, I don't think what you're doing is right. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's constitutional. And the reason why our founding fathers did that is because they came from a government that would behead you or that would lock you up in leg irons and in dungeons and prisons or whatever for challenging them and saying this is not right. Listen, we don't want to go. We don't want to put set aside the Constitution. We want to go back and say, listen, we want to go back to the original intent of our nation. And that one of the first original tents in writing of the Constitution is that Congress of the United States is made up of Senate and the House of Representatives. And they're the ones that are the legislature body. They're the ones that make laws. Nobody else is supposed to make no laws. They're supposed to make them. And if we created things and ideas and concepts that cause these laws to happen outside of that, we need to go back to the original tent and undo those things. Mm-hmm. And go back to our original founding fathers' leadership in the area of this great document called the Constitution of the United States. You're listening to Original Tent on VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it. Is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation, and I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Exactly. I was thinking about, you know, a lot of people love and, you know, the idea of being successful and doing, you know, good work and
having... I like more than the idea. I actually would like to be successful.
Well, yeah, it has to, yeah. Well, you got to start with the idea first, you know. Like, I want to be successful.
Not in America. Yeah. I expect to drop out of this guy. Did you ever have an idea?
Okay. Yeah. Successful, but a lot of times you're missing the, you know, the key components to being successful. And there's one key component in Proverbs 14:23. It says all hard work brings a profit. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Nothing in life just happens. Believe it or not. It just doesn't happen. And anything of true significance, you know, involves a dream, right? A dream of sharing of that dream, talking about it, and of course, hard work to fulfill the dream. You need all three. You need, you know, dreamers, talkers, and doers and builders, right?
Oh, yeah.
But some are just dreamers. They plan.
And plan some more.
And plan some more.
Ready, 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 yeah. Ready, 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 ready. You ever think about aiming, aiming, yeah. Aiming, aiming, aiming?
Yeah.
Fire.
Or firing, firing, firing.
And then you got those that just fire, aim, and aim.
Yeah, right. No, what just happened?
Put that
I just down. Got shot.
Yeah, exactly. But they just plan. They just plan and dream, and it's like, wait a minute. Are you going to do something with these plans, or are you just dreaming here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have some of those that just talk. They talk.
Some.
Well, yeah, I guess a lot, right?
Most.
It's like, oh, I get it now. I get it.
They talk. No walk. You know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, you can't just talk about it. You know, they love to share their dreams, love to share about what it's going to be like. And it's like, man, somebody's got to get in here and start doing something. There's a third component to all this is hard work. Don't go there. Then my eyebrows hit the top of the head.
Like a tournament.
I knew that was coming. So staying focused here. Hard work.
You were talking? What's that? This is good.
Yeah, talking only leads to poverty, but hard work is what brings a profit. And Proverbs 14:4 says that where there is no oxen, the manger is empty. But the strength of an ox comes from an abundant harvest. You know, it's diligence, it's being faithful, it's having all of three of these components. And they're all important because, you know, you can put a whole bunch of hard work and don't even have a plan, you know, and don't know what in the world are you doing? Spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
You can talk about it, and you know what? Talking about it doesn't pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? You can, you know, it just doesn't get it done. And you can dream, but if you're just dreaming and you don't plan to put any feet.
No faith,
no action. It just doesn't happen. We need to be dreamers and talkers and talking the vision out and then actually working it out and seeing that vision come to pass.
Mm-hmm. So many people work so hard their whole life, don't they? And it's like, but this, like, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
And you've showed up several times at the nothing that you were headed for and you never knew that you got there and your life ends. You go, what was that?
Exactly.
What was that? You think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
And it's sad. You can, people arrive to a place on accident.
Mm-hmm.
But you can actually arrive to a place on purpose.
Yeah. Living life on purpose.
What a concept.
What a concept. Intentionality here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Starting your day on purpose makes me think about if you get a chance to go and listen to that on VFN Torch.
Mm.
Called Starting Your Day on Purpose.
Yes.
Purpose, which is purpose, power. And vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need strength, you need clarity, and you need a direction.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vision is so important. I know you've been listening to VFN Radio. We've spoken a lot about vision. I encourage you to go to the top of the torch, and you can go to the torch by going to VFNTV.com and selecting the moving torch, which is very nice. I like that moving torch. And you click that.
Pretty snazzy.
Yeah, snazzy. Yeah,
hold your hands over. You get cold. You can get warmed up.
But you click that torch and you go in the upper right-hand corner. You can type in the word vision. And you listen to some of these powerful segments because you really get encouraged. You need a vision. You need a vision.
Without it, you perish.
Without it, you perish.
Mm-hmm.
But once you got one, don't put it on your business card and do nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know? I remember this one guy,
Or never pass one out.
It's got to be big. It's got to be big. Big. A million versus like 50,000. Like so big vision, right?
A big vision.
A big vision.
A huge vision. Then you got to work towards it.
It's important, though, to have steps in that because you'll defeat yourself having vision so big that it takes your entire lifetime to reach it.
That's right.
You can't attach your faith to it.
You know, a business sector would say intermediate goals.
Yeah.
That you know, you get that celebration. You need some things to check off and to celebrate and
feel good about.
Yeah, feel good about.
It's done. We're blazing through. We're halfway done. Right. But
I got a check mark.
Yes, hey, that's the value. One of the high, my values, like accomplishment.
People who live on purpose, they actually like the check mark. That's a
that's a
rush.
Beautiful thing.
And think about it, that you can, you know, all day long your day has to count for something. There's just some, you know, there's some people out there that just giving time.
You know, remember too that a person without a vision is at the mercy of the demon or the man who does. And a visionless people, that void will be filled by darkness. And you'll have people that will come in, tyrannical leaders.
Oh yeah.
And begin to say, okay, I'm going to lead you. And because people are visionless, they're destroyed because they'll be taken. I mean, think about Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, Hitler led a visionless people into a place of just horrific tragedy.
Yeah.
And but if they would have had a vision, they would have known this particular person's vision is against our vision, so I'm not going to, you know, exercise my voting power because he got voted in. You know, Hitler got voted into office.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stories about the number of votes. But if they would have known clarity, you can line your values up.
It was a visionless society. It was a visionless society. Here comes this person who comes in with his vision.
His one man's vision.
Think about that.
That came from hell.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah. Which shows you the power of kingdom vision.
That's right.
Because you look at where one man, you know, when you think about Charles Seymour, you think about William Booth, you think about Oral Roberts, you think about Steve Hill, whoever.
Right.
Where one man got a vision for a kingdom vision.
That's right.
And just, or, you know, Todd down in South Africa, he has a vision for a, can a nation be one in a day?
Yeah.
And he literally can stir nations up because his vision is for nations, which is an overwhelming vision.
Yeah.
You start thinking, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Like 50,000, like a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's big. I mean, it's a huge. Is.
But he has faith for it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
a lot of people are just dreaming just a dream, but they have no faith whatsoever to attach itself. And you want to make sure that whatever you're dreaming, whatever you're believing for, you can actually have faith to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know,
we think about we're literally reaching princes now on
VFM
radio. And they're connecting to us and we're reaching the world. You know, Kumar right here just joined us over in northern India. And we're just so glad to have you. Obviously, we can't call everybody out, but it's just amazing how that God's into nations. He says,
he says,
listen, that if you ask me, and this is when you write your vision out, kingdom vision, is the reason why people ask and don't get, because they ask amiss, they ask outside the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
But this is his will. He wants the nations. He says, make disciples of nations. He says, if you'll ask of me, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. As an inheritance.
Mm.
And this inheritance in the kingdom is so big that you're not going to be able to even digest it. You just got to say, thank you for this inheritance.
Right.
Or some people, you know, say, well, you know, I knew all this all along. It's like, this thing is so big that you can't even wrap your, you know, your two cents around it. You just have to just go, wow, look what you're doing. Look what you're giving us, you know, in the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. But yeah.
Yes.
And so it's one man, you know, one vision, one God, and nothing's stoppable with that.
That's right.
Wow.
You have God. You know, I think it was Reinhard Bunke who said, you're a zero, right? We're all zeros. We're no one.
Right.
But if we come alongside the number one, Jesus, we become a 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then if another zero joins us together, we become 100.
Right.
And then if another zero comes 1,000... There's 10,000 of us. There's 100,000 of us. There's a million of us.
If one could put 1,000
in flight,
10,000 exponential. Oh, exactly.
You know?
The exciting thing is that when other people hear the same vision, what's coming from heaven, and say, yeah, I'm in agreement with what God is doing, and then you begin to see an army.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
An army just gathering together because we're hearing the orders from God for this generation. And we're beginning to see the formulation. That's why you see a flaming torch on VFN TV, because that represents the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is. Remember, Gideon had this torch, and that keeping that light, you know, shining, giving you hope. Understand that despite what's going on, right before the breakthrough, it's always its darkest hour.
Yeah.
It's always the darkest hour. And when you think about it, Jesus being born and mm-hmm. what was going on with all the death of the babies and Moses and all those, the enemy just tries everything to be able to stop what he's doing, which means he knows he's about to be out. He's about to lose something. And we're seeing this is great, you know, escalation, quick escalation. Mm-hmm. That's how you really know when they're throwing like, is that the sink that just came at us?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the kitchen sink that just came? Okay. That's a good sign. People say, they're throwing the kitchen sink. You go, that's praise God. If they're thinking it's over because if they're throwing the kitchen sink, I don't want to talk about all that. But see, I'm just telling you that because you don't have a vision like you're saying, John, you'll be destroyed in all that.
Mm-hmm.
You have no restraint during mm-hmm. that because vision, people without vision cast off restraint is what the NIV says. And what restrains us is that vision. And so we're like water.
Yeah.
You know, like we're like water when the enemy's coming in like a flood. We're just a flood with the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But vision helps us make decisions. It helps us have a clear life. It helps gives us a reason to continue to stand.
Yeah.
It gives us hope. And it gives us an opportunity to love God through our faith, believing him for that vision to take place.
Yeah. Not to mention the energy and the excitement that God stirs within us when we have kingdom vision. And we go after it, you know, because that's what kingdom vision does. God vision does just stirs you up in your spirit. And now you're sharing it. You're talking about it. Other people are hearing it. And then all of a sudden, what we talked about, this group starts gathering, this kingdom army starts gathering to fulfill the vision that God has, you know, set forth.
All right.
It takes all three. Dreaming, vision, talking, sharing about it, and doing hard work.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, Pat, I got to ask you, man. I got to tell you, I've been watching these Olympics, man. I a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, catching
really?
Some
How
glimpse.
Do you have time for that?
just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. You know, listen, they have an app for everything. You know, just catch it on the app. Catch it on the fly,
I know.
Well, I'm really inspired. You know, I hear that Michael Phelps now is the most decorated gold medalist now, or medalist, should I say.
Uh-huh.
And so pretty interesting. Michael Phelps, and I heard the women's gymnastics team took the gold. I think this is the first time. Yeah.
Very good. It's been a while, isn't it?
Yes, first time since, I think, 1996. So they're doing good.
Wow.
But I tell you, you look at these athletes, you look at the training, you look at their bodies, Pat, not like ours, are in the top, you know, tip-top shape. You know what I mean? They're cut.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, okay, never mind.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with
you. Yeah, you know, so they were inspiring me. I said, you know, maybe I need to work out some, you know, maybe I need to, you know, get some of those ripped abs like Michael Phelps there. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. And then I thought about that work. And I said, you know, there's got to be, Pat, an easier way to do this. Okay. There's got to be a way how we can get ripped.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And so I just happened to find a little at, what do you call it? A flyer, a little ad here, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that they're selling. They're offering this thing called Abhancer. Abhancer.
Uh-huh.
Now listen here, okay? This thing here is a lightweight frame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has adjustable straps, all right?
Uh-huh.
So it can fit even the roundest of us, okay?
Okay.
It fits beneath the clothing. I want you to think of this, think of it like a grill, if you will, a metal grill that has the outline of a six-pack.
Oh, it like fits under your clothes?
Absolutely.
Like a girdle.
Now you're talking, brother.
Oh,
all right?
My goodness.
And you put the strap on nice and tight, kind of wear it for, you know, 24 hours. You can't move or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
But after that, you'll have an imprinted six-pack, man. And I'll tell you what, you and I can go a long way with that.
Oh, my. Okay.
I was thinking about you, man. I was thinking about you.
Really?
Six packs, you know, six pack in a few minutes, you know, or a few hours. But I think we'll put that on the torch. I actually have a picture of that. It is hilarious when I saw
it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the guy sitting down watching TV while he's, you know, he's training his six pack, his cuts there.
Hark the herald angels sing,
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We were talking about earlier about perseverance, and it's amazing. It's amazing to think that anything can get done in life or in the kingdom of God without having a spirit of perseverance. Let me tell you something. Perseverance is so needed. I mean, what can get accomplished if you don't persevere and stay the course? And I see oftentimes where people say they try. I put a good effort in, but they don't persevere and finish the race. They don't finish and go all the way. And Hebrews says for us not to throw away our confidence. I mean, think about that. Don't throw away your faith. Do not throw away your confidence in God. Confidence in yourself could always be thrown away. We're talking about, so do not throw your confidence away in God, because it will be richly rewarded. We need people to be confident in the Lord. So many times you see confidence being what I like to call as misplaced confidence. Confidence and trust in so many other things. You know, their cars, their resources, their own strength, abilities, other people. But what about confidence in the Lord, faith in God? That's how precious your faith is. And the enemy would try to do everything in his power to get you to give up and to give in. Every lie, every attack. And the thing about it is that we cannot entertain those lies. I mean, the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that he is the father of all lies. Rest assured that whenever he's opening his mouth, he's always lying. And so he's constantly trying to attack us with all kinds of thoughts, arrows, if you will, to get us to stop. No forward movement in God. It's all about stopping. It's all about stopping. And you have to be really protective over your heart and over your mind. I mean, the Bible says that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4, I believe 23. You have to guard your heart. You got to guard your mind and not allow anything to run wild through your mind. And a bit, you know, one of the gifts that we could ever have is a busy and fruitful life.
Right.
Because when your life is consumed with doing the will of the Lord, when your life is consumed being productive and being fruitful, you don't have a lot of time to allow other things to run crazy in your mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're engaged in the things of God. You can get busy and see things happen and see fruit produce. But a mind that wanders and aimless, you know, just thinking about nothing today. Listen, if you don't have a thought in your mind, the enemy will be happy to give you and supply you not just one, but many. And oftentimes those thoughts are about giving up. Those thoughts are about giving in and quitting. Well, listen, if you quit, you're going to forfeit your reward. God wants to reward your faith, but you can't give up. And in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, it says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere. That word, when you think about the definition, it means to persist in anything that you have undertaken. I mean, it means that you just keep going. You maintain a purpose in spite of the difficulty and the obstacles and the discouragement. I mean, oftentimes it's like, oh, I tried doing hard. You know, I tried real hard. But then this obstacle came. Then this situation came and I had to give up. No, you're supposed to maintain. You're supposed to persist in the midst of the difficulty. It's not about trying. No, no. Succeed. Do. Finish. Stick. Stay and stand. Hang in there. Hang tough. And when I think about perseverance and I think about not giving up, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but just in the news, a long-distance endurance swimmer, her name is Diane Nyad. She just finished, first person ever to do this. She swam all the way from Havana to Florida.
Now, where's Havana?
Cuba. Think about this. Cuba. Wow. To Florida, all the way to Key West.
That's what, 90 miles?
No, no, 110 miles.
Wow.
First person to do this without a shark cage. People have done it before with a shark cage, obviously, so they don't get, you know,
eaten
by a shark. But also the shark cage, I have learned, has a way that it propels people along, too. It's kind of an assistance. Mm. It kind of, you know, they kind of get some kind of, you know, a flow with that.
Mm.
So a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But she's attempted this. This is her fifth attempt. She has been stopped before because of jellyfish things. The water was too rough, and she's you know, not been able to make it. Interesting note, she's 64.
Wow.
64. And just so that you know, she was swimming for 53 hours.
Straight.
Well, she didn't come out the water. She did stop to eat. And what I guess she had boats that were following. She had a team of 35 with her during this whole thing. I guess they tried to give her some food.
Did she sleep?
Apparently not. I mean, I don't know how she did that. Quite amazing to me.
That's more than 2 days.
Amazing. Amazing.
Don't know. 53 hours.
Think about that.
Wow.
53 hours of swimming. I didn't even think about how do you sleep in the water? I mean, and she did it. She had this mask on her face to protect her from being stung by a jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
She had doctors that were there present monitoring her. At one time she even threw up because she had difficulty breathing. She was throwing up while she was swimming. And she endured. I mean, she was able to do it. And I'm just amazed that you talk about endurance, you talk about perseverance, and you talk about not giving up. This is something that she wanted to do for the longest time, and she did it. She set a record. And oftentimes, people give up. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have, you know, I'm sure that over those 53 hours, she at least had 53 opportunities to give up.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
I heard someone say that they were married for 50 years, and they were celebrating their anniversary, and a very wise man, he says, yep, that means we have 53 opportunities to get a divorce, at least. You know, and these days, people don't understand the word about perseverance. You right. know, you're seeing a culture that's easy to give in and give up, but we can't remember what the word of the Lord is to us. It says, do not give up. Do not throw away your confidence. You know, you need to persevere. You need to hang in there, hang tough, if you will. Some other words that go along with perseverance. You have to plug away. Because if you do, if you continue to persevere, you're going to receive. You're going to receive the reward. God has a reward. He wants to reward our faith. It's the testing of our faith that James talks about. But you know what? And he says that my righteous one will live by faith. When you think about all the things that you do in your life as a believer, everything you do comes by faith. Living by faith is not just a cute scripture that we put on a refrigerator. It's how we live. Everything should be done in faith. We love in faith. We're the righteousness of God in faith. Our salvation's by faith. We lay our hands on the sick and they recover by faith. We hear God's word by faith. Faith. We commune with the Lord by faith. It's all done by faith. We work by faith. We sow in faith. And it's the testing of your faith that has to persevere. The enemy wants to attack you in your faith, in your belief, and in your confidence that God is able. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more of all that you dream, can ask, think, or imagine. And you need to be sure in your confidence. You need to be sure in your trust. Because there are situations going to happen. Just like this woman who was swimming. You can think of the current. They said at one point that she's swimming, that somebody, one of the doctors was in the water, and they have this electrical thing that they put in the water to scare off or get rid of the sharks.
Mm-hmm.
that are approaching the water. And they were telling her at one point, go to the right, go to the right, go to the left, go to the left, go to the, I mean, you're in shark-infested water. You have a 110-mile journey. I don't know many people who can walk 110 miles, much less swim.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Swim. Your body constantly has to be moving. I mean, how long can you float? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
How long can you float? Think about the energy that takes place, the training that takes place for that. And at any moment, if you believe, how many times could have been thought in her mind, you know, okay, maybe we need to stop. I can't do this anymore. But she kept pushing. She kept pushing. She kept, you know, envisioning the coast of Florida. Sometimes all you need to do, man, sometimes all you can do is to lock your eyes and see the vision. That's why, you know, God's people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish for lack of vision. They don't have vision. If you don't have vision, let me tell you something. The enemy is more than happy to supply you with multiple visions so that you can have division. Mm-hmm. And everything divided from itself will fall. That's why you got to purposely, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whether it's ministry, your job, a vision for your family, you have to know what it is clear cut so that you can stay focused, so that you can stay locked in for what God's called you to do. But if you're a visionless person, you're being tossed back and forth by every lie of the enemy, by every suggestion from someone who's been held captive, and you're not moving within your purpose. But you got to persevere. You've got to stick, stay, and stand. We need people today that are not going to just stand because it's comfortable, only in times that it's comfortable. What makes the measure of a man or a woman is when things are going down, when the chips are down, where are you? When times get difficult, where are you? Mm-hmm. Are you one that's firm and resolute and say, we're going to get through this? With God, all things are possible. We're going to get through this. We're going to make it through the other side. We're going to go through this, and we're not going to give up. Mm-hmm. You think about all the times that you could have given up.
Mm-hmm.
I think about all the times that you were tempted to throw in the towel. Listen, don't shrink back. The Word of God says that we are not those. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Listen, raise your faith level high. Believe again. Don't let your confidence be rocked. Maybe you found out that you have misplaced confidence. Maybe you've been trusting in yourself and things and people. Maybe you've been holding on to what other people have said. You need to know for yourself what the word of the Lord is. You need to spend some time abiding. You can go to iabide.org and get a simple plan where you can learn to spend time with God daily, where you can hear his voice for yourself and write down what God has told you in your quiet time. Listen, there's nothing like putting your hope, your confidence in the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's trust and confidence that can never be shaken. But you have to put it all in God and persevere all the way to the end.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
because
it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barner writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.